days, 10 days. Hare Krishna. On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday Festival. Today, Srila Prabhupada has showered extraordinary mercy upon all of us in the form of many of his most intimate loving associates and special guests. If I were to even attempt to speak a fraction of what is in my heart for each of these devotees, there would be no time for anyone to speak. And I know for sure that you want me to get this over with as soon as possible. So I will be very brief. We have His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, whose home in India is Radha Gopinath Temple, by His causeless mercy upon us. Yesterday, He gave such a penetrating, extraordinary class that has deeply affected our hearts. One of the most loved devotees in our society, for His honesty, His integrity, His humility, His incredible kirtans, His wonderful classes, and His great compassion upon everyone. Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. We also have Janani Vas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu. Since they're identical twins, I will introduce them together. What can I say? The purity of their hearts, the humility of their character has deeply affected our whole society. I believe it was in 1971 that they went to Sri Mayapur Dham. Srila Prabhupada appointed them to be in charge of the deity worship. They have been faithfully executing Guru Maharaj's instruction since that time. Despite glorious successes and intolerable crises that have taken place in Mayapur Dham, Janani Vas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu have remained in the faithful service of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. In fact, there are many who consider these two brothers the most exemplary devotees in the entire world. And I am amongst them. So is Niranjan Swami. And believe it or not, officially They are the head pujaris of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Jananivas Prabhu accepted this position years ago. And any deity worship decisions that are made must be with the blessings of Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu. Let us, to sum up Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu, they simply love Krishna. I think everything else is included in that. They have very deep and wonderful ecstatic love for Krishna and for the Vaishnavas. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And we have Lakshmi Moni Devi, Prabhu. Very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She has been here many times. She is taking responsibility of one of the most successful schools for young devotee girls. And the way she inspires them, encourages them, and trains them in the science of pure devotional service is amazing. How many children in your school? 20. How many of you feel fit to be the mother of 20 American and international teenage girls? Live in the same house with them day and night and make them blissful and happy. Let us welcome with great enthusiasm Lakshmi Moni Prabhu. And to my very great joy, we have with us for the first time Dinatarani Devi Prabhu, who has been very, very senior disciple of Prabhupada, extraordinary good character. She's like a mother of the universe, especially to me. She has done so many various services, sacrifices in Prabhupada's mission over the years. And she's been living for many years, setting most exalted example of renounced ladies along with Yamuna Mataji and Sharanagati. Let us very enthusiastically welcome Dinatarani Prabhu. And we have still with us Vishakha and Shamsundar Prabhu, who we have introduced many times. But let us just express our deep appreciation that they tolerate us day after day and continue to shower their blessings upon us. And we have from Sri Vrindavan Dham two of the most wonderful exemplary Vrijbasis, both born, raised in the dust of the cows of Braj. We have Ramesh Chandra Goswami, one of the head pujaris of the Krishna Balaram temple, in the very house where Krishna and Balaram eternally reside, on the top of the hill of Srinandagram Dham. And his daughter, Gita, is with us also. And Madan Mohan Brijbasi from Koshi, who's been living for many years at Man Mandir in the Chikshali region of Barsana, Gabarvan. Madan Mohanji, in the month of June, he happened to be in America when His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was in the last days of his Leela in this world. And by his kindness, along with Panditji and Narasingha Baba, they came. And when Madan Mohan, when he was singing so sweetly, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who was on his deathbed, went into an ecstasy that no one has ever seen him before. He wasn't crying. He was wailing. Tears were pouring from his eyes. And he was just crying out loud for a half hour continuously as Madan Mohan Brijbasi was singing the sweet glories of Sri Sri Radha, Man Bihari Lal. He's one of the sweetest, most beautiful bhajan and kirtan singers that this world will ever know. Let us welcome, along with his two sons, Hare Krishna and Sri Krishna. Yes. Let us welcome Madan Mohan Brijbasi. And we also have my very old friend. Is Shelley here also?
No.
Huh? Hannah. Oh, she's doing like that. Okay. You all know Gary, my old friend that I grew up with. This is his younger brother, Richard, who I also grew up with. And we were very, very close friends when we were young boys and teenagers. And Richard has come to India for the first time in his life. We've known each other and somehow remained in connection with each other all of these years. He's just a wonderful soul with very special spiritual interests as well. And I am so grateful that you have come. After years and years of inviting him, he has made his appearance. Let us very affectionately and enthusiastically welcome him to Radha Gopinath. Special guest. More than special. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj's elder sister. Known as Sandy Auntie. So, just... she has an all-attractive personality just like her brother. And she has so much affection and love for our devotees. And our devotees have so much an affection and love for you. And so much gratitude that you have come. Let us welcome Sandy to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And the leading preachers from Taiwan, disciples of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, very, very dear to his heart eternally. Wonderful devotees. They have, Taiwan is not an easy place to teach people about love of God. But they have been there for many years and have made tremendous efforts and wonderful successes in both Taiwan and China, communist China. Can you both stand up? Eka Chakra Prabhu and Janava Devi. Janava Devi, please stand up. Janava Devi is from China. Let us very sincerely welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath. Today we also have, I believe, about 15 devotees from Moscow and other parts of Russia. But they're in another room hearing a simultaneous translation. But they hear us. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha. And now for the crescendo of my introductions. The senior most amongst all of us. We have with us, once again after 5 years, Yamuna Devi Prabhu. She first met Srila Prabhupada in 1966 at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. She came for her sister Janaki Prabhu's marriage to then Mukunda Prabhu, who is now Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. And at that time, she alone assisted Srila Prabhupada personally in cooking the entire marriage feast. And by that association with Srila Prabhupada, she gave her heart, her soul, her life to his loving service eternally. Along with Gurudas Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Prabhu, Mukunda Goswami and Janaki Prabhu, they started the first temple in San Francisco, the first temple in London. In fact, every morning we hear her singing Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, which was a record produced by George Harrison of the Beatles. One time, a man complained to Prabhupada about why we're listening to a woman singing every morning for greeting the deities to every temple worldwide by Prabhupada's order. But Srila Prabhupada's, he compared her singing to a transcendental symphony beyond all material considerations. And therefore, it is an established tradition of ISKCON that in over 500 temples, we hear her singing every single day. I first met her at Cross Maidan in Bombay during the festival. And next, I met her in 1971. She was living at the Radha Damodar Temple. She was at the first group of devotees to establish the ISKCON movement within India. I could speak for many hours but we want to hear her speak. But she has done so much to transform so many people's hearts over the decades. Prabhupada said that she had attained bhava, or love of Krishna. There wasn't many people Prabhupada said that about. And being taught cooking by Srila Prabhupada, she wanted to share it with the world. So she wrote a cookbook, Lord Krishna's Cuisine, and it won almost every international award as the cookbook of the year. And she's simply glorifying Krishna through whatever she does. I have been pleading with her to come for many years. And somehow, by Radha Gopinath's causeless mercy, she has made her appearance. And she refused to give class today. But due to the intense desire of all of us, she has surrendered. So our speaker for today will be Yamuna Devi Prabhu. Let us very enthusiastically welcome her back to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Much louder, please. And just walked in is Braj Bihari Prabhu and Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu, who have come from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu Devi, she is the headmaster and principal of the Gurukul, the Bhaktivedanta Gurukul in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Braj Bihari Prabhu, he does about everything. If there's any problem in ISKCON, the first thing people do is contact Braj Bihari Prabhu. Very humble, very pure heart, very simple, very intelligent, very dedicated, and a wonderful friend. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath. And at this time, we sincerely request Yamuna Devi Prabhu to enlighten us. And if you finish by midnight, it's all right.
Thank you. Vanshikalpataru vaischa kripa sindhu vaiva cha patitanam pravanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dear respected Maharajas, transcendental Brajad Dham residents, glorious Chaupati devotees, all of the guests that are here in Chaupati, some for the first time. I offer you all my deepest respects. I'm really overwhelmed when I come to Chaupati, because there's no place like it on the planet, maybe in all the three worlds. Radha Gopinath, who reside here, are worshipped so very beautifully. Since I was here 5 years ago, their lordships have become more effulgent and more glorious. Now I see new Archavigraha here, Lalita and Vishaka, and the other Sakis. When I first came in to pay dandavats to Srila Prabhupada, chills just overcame me with emotion. How much pleased he must be. Radhanath Swami, who has the ability to try to honor every living jiva soul that he comes in contact with, captured my heart some many years ago. And over the years, I felt such a deep, deep, deep sense of gratitude to Lord Krishna for allowing me to have his company in this lifetime. I am so indebted to him for that. And every time I have the good fortune to be in his association, I more deeply appreciate the literatures that have been given to us by our great Vaishnava charges. I more appreciate my spiritual master, and I more appreciate all of you. So it is with really great deep sense of gratitude that I've been allowed for the second time to have this Chaupati experience. I was so moved by it the first time I came here that I thought I wouldn't ever come back here. It was so overwhelming. But it's by Radhanath Swami's mercy and Krishna Chandra Prabhu's mercy and the mercy of so many of you that I've been allowed a second opportunity. And I remember the first time I was asked to speak here. I have to tell you, I don't speak in public. Srila Prabhupada also didn't push me to speak because I'm not a good speaker. But Radhanath Swami has asked me to say something about Prabhupada. So you have so many devotees, old and very senior to me, who could speak so much very wonderful Prabhupada Gita. And so I asked him, could you be more specific what maybe I might try to speak on? So first time was Prabhupada's mercy, which is a very general topic. And a disciple can take that so many different places. So with this one, for some reason, I was thinking to bring up just the simple topic of Srila Prabhupada in the kitchen and us in the kitchen. And maybe to take a little glance, historical glance, at one relationship of one disciple with Srila Prabhupada in the kitchen, and also to meditate a little bit about how Srila Prabhupada taught each of his disciples in an individual way. And with some disciples, he gave more instruction and more detailed instruction and more detailed criticism. And with some, he was extremely lenient. And whatever mistakes were made in the service of Lord Krishna, he was very gentle in his chastisement. So from the very first day that I had any association with Prabhupada in the kitchen, Srila Prabhupada was a little, not very lenient with me. So I thought to ask you first a question, all of you, and I know it's a very big audience, but I would like for any of you to spontaneously respond to the question. In your experience of Krishna consciousness, name something in relationship to Prabhupada and cooking that you have been taught is important. In other words, to cook in spiritual consciousness, what is an important element? Please speak out loudly. Just answer. Cleanliness. Thank you. Another one. Excuse me? Remember who you are cooking for. Again. What? Punctuality. What else? Devotion. That's like remember who we're cooking for in another way. Another quality? Louder? Yes, chanting, attentive chanting, attentive chanting. What else? Don't waste anything. Excellent. What else? I can't hear. All right. Don't talk while cooking. Thank you. Don't speculate. Hare Krishna, Rojaji. So I'll tell you, if I try to synthesize down to three things, those three things are cleanliness, quality, and purity. So each of our great sampradayas, each temple in our sampradaya, and all of our different gurus may stress things differently. But if I look back on the short 11 years that I had of Srila Prabhupada's company in the kitchen, those three things come to the surface as being the cream. You have to imagine the time, if we go back decades, from 2006 to 96 to 86 to 76 to 66. I met my spiritual master when I was 25 years old. I was from a family who knew nothing about Krishna, had never heard the name Krishna, had never heard the word Vaishnavism, with true mlecha qualities. And I went to my younger sister's wedding, just like you are attending an incredible wedding in 2 days. So I went to my younger sister's wedding. And the day that I arrived for the wedding, I went to a luncheon and met Srila Prabhupada. It was a luncheon that Srila Prabhupada cooked by his own hand and served to his first disciples. And it was my first taste of Krishna Prasadam. And after that meal, Srila Prabhupada said, "So, what is your name?" And I told him, "Where are you from? 3,000 miles away. When is the rest of the family coming for the wedding?" I'm the only one coming, Swamiji. Oh, this is so unusual, he said. This is very unusual in India. The family of the bride makes great arrangements for a wedding. So today when I asked Krishnachandra and his wife, Adapriya, how many people will be coming to the wedding, she said, there'll be maybe 3,000-4,000 intimate guests. So you can see the setting, the scenario. So I said, I'm the only one coming. He said, never mind, you can help me cook. So I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting experience. He said, can you come tomorrow morning? Yes, Swamiji, I can come. So I came the next day in a little blue mini skirt and a t-shirt into Srila Prabhupada's quarters. And he sat me down in front of a 5-pound bag of moida and 2 pounds of butter, unsalted, not even ghee, pitcher of water. And he said, so can you make a medium hard dough? And I said, Swamiji, what do you mean? I said, you mean chou en flot dough? You mean pâté brisé? What kind of dough? So he really looked at me quizzically and he raised his eyebrow and he said, any child 5 years old in India can do this. How old are you? Is it 25? Is it you're 25 and you can't make a medium hard dough? Let me show you. So from this very moment, Srila Prabhupada grabbed my invisible sika. And he began to drag me to Krishna. And you know, if you can just imagine the strangeness of this, but I remember his hands, he took the flour, he put it into a bowl. His hands began to work magic. Very quickly he made a kachori dough. Now all of you know that kachori are some of the most challenging pastries in our line to master and do well. So my first job as Prabhupada's aspiring assistant was to make kachoris for 40 people alone. And in that first day that I cooked with Srila Prabhupada, there was a small little galley kitchen. Galley kitchen means on one side there's a counter and on another side there's a counter. And Srila Prabhupada in the period of 6 hours made 14 dishes for 40 people alone. Plus fried all of the kachoris. And in the course of that, for about 2-3 hours, I tried to make and shape kachoris. Finally, I said to Srila Prabhupada, may I have a glass of water? And he peeked his head around from the kitchen and he said, go wash your hands. So I thought that was a very strange thing, but I went and washed my hands. And then his first instruction to me was to explain, when we're cooking for Krishna, it is different than any other cooking. When we are cooking for Krishna, we are cooking for the pleasure of Krishna. We do not use our senses to enjoy the experience. We only think of the pleasure of Krishna. First instruction I get. All right, thank you, Swamiji. I will try to do that. Some maybe hour and a half later, I said, Srila Prabhupada, may I take a cigarette break? He peeked his head around the corner and said, go wash your hands. It was then that Srila Prabhupada told me about the 4 rules and regulations. And that when we cook for Krishna, this is the beginning of the quality of purity. Beginning first instruction on the quality of purity. Some 3 hours later, maybe it was close to 5 hours I was making kachoris, I said, it was very hot in the room, and I took my arm and I wiped my forehead, and Srila Prabhupada saw it and he said, go wash your hands. So he began to explain first idea of cleanliness. He said, when we cook for Krishna, we wear clean clothes. Our clothes don't come in contact with the... Do you need something? We don't allow the clothes to touch Krishna. We wear clean clothes only when cooking for Krishna. In this way, in the very first day, Srila Prabhupada began to give me some little instruction. And over the next 11 years, I had the fortune of many different situations where Srila Prabhupada gave me some little training in this art of cooking for Krishna. So how many people in this audience have rendered some personal service to their lordships in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir by doing some cooking for their pleasure? Please raise your hand. A rather small group. I am sure that the standard that you have established here is perhaps the highest in ISKCON, especially with the guidance of the two saintliest pujaris in ISKCON. But there are many places where, especially in the West, it's very hard to engage in the simplest kind of instructions. I had one piece of paper. Typing, there it is. I wanted to read to you a couple points that Srila Prabhupada said into a letter in 1968. This is only 2 years after ISKCON has been founded. To a disciple in Los Angeles who asked him some questions, little basic questions. And here's what Srila Prabhupada sent to him. This was on June 16th, 1967, excuse me. The main thing is that whatever is cooked for Krishna and offered to the Lord, everything should be done very respectfully and cleanly prepared and offered. You should offer everything in a very clean and pure manner. So that means different things to different people, what clean and pure manner means. So Srila Prabhupada is now going to help us to understand what that means in the simplest terms. Krishna is neither hungry nor is Krishna poor, nor is he unable to eat, but he will accept everything, the foods mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, when it is offered to him with three things: love, devotion, and faith. So we could take this simple sentence, and no matter how advanced you are or how long you have practiced Krishna consciousness, we can go deeper into the purport and the meaning of these three things: love, devotion, and faith. There is no end to the depths of this simple statement. Srila Prabhupada once said to me that Srimati Radharani is expert in everything. In Braj Bhumi and Braj Dham, there is no one who pleases Krishna more. She is most expert for her dancing, but she pleases Krishna with her cooking. And every day, with every time she cooks for Krishna, she never makes the same thing twice. This is eternally something that Srimati Radharani is doing for the pleasure of Krishna. Eternally. So we see what expertise means. We see what love, faith and devotion means through Radharani's service to Krishna in this one capacity, just one thing, of which she is expert in everything. So vast is this vehicle for serving the senses of the Lord. All right. Talking within the kitchen should be done only at what is necessary for the preparation of prasadam or about the Lord. When you cooked with Srila Prabhupada, he did not chat. There was no conversation. For instruction, there was question and answer, but not other than that. To watch Srila Prabhupada in the kitchen was like watching a true artist. How he used his hands was extraordinary. I had never seen anyone bray, knead, chop, whip, do so many things with movements in his hands. He was extremely efficient. Once in Vrindavan in the late time of 1976, in a time when his very close godbrother Bhagatji was cooking for him, Srila Prabhupada said that he could cook for 30 people on one burner in 1/2 hour a meal. And the person challenged him and said, "That's not possible." And Prabhupada said, "Do you want to see me do it?" And he backed down and said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, I believe you." He was so very expert that he taught by example. He never told us to do something that he couldn't do himself very expertly. He learned to cook by watching others, not in a brahmachari ashram. Most specifically, he said his mother and his auntie he learned cooking from, and by watching street vendors. He said he learned a great deal from watching them as well. There are certain rules that must be followed. No offered food should be brought back into the kitchen. This offered food is a practice in your country. But in temples or in homes of the Krishna conscious person, one should never indulge in such an unclean habit. If there is any leftover food, it must be kept separately. So there's so many examples I could give of Srila Prabhupada with this. One was at the estate of John Lennon in Prabhupada's service. And it was a what we call a no facility zone when you're traveling with Srila Prabhupada and you're placed in a situation where it isn't a Vaishnav kitchen, neither are there Vaishnavas to help with the standard of cleanliness. This was the servants' quarters to a very big estate. There was no facility. And he saw his brahmachari assistant, Purushottam Prabhu, he saw him bringing some food back. Now this is, ISKCON is 3 years old now. Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter in 1967, and he expected that every one of his disciples by this time would know this standard and would make arrangements, no matter what or how simple, that arrangements should be made. So it doesn't need to be complex. Simply, there's a line. This is for offered prasad. This is for unoffered prasad. What is in the difficulty of following kitchen rules? They are rules, they are simple rules, and they must be followed. One must be prepared to follow rules for Krishna. Otherwise, where is the proof that one loves Krishna? We come into the love aspect again. If we're not willing to follow rules, where is love? And besides that, these rules are not difficult to follow. Srila Prabhupada made the art of and the practice of Krishna consciousness so enticing and so salient and so accessible that it became attractive for any person that really was willing to listen to it. Just like you're coming as a guest today, and you may have not experienced this Krishna conscious environment. But imagine if someone took you by the hand and sat you down with a pile of flower and said, here's how you do. That every one of us in this room had a beginning time where they were invited by a transcendental personality to taste their first sampling of cooking for Krishna in the kitchen. So for any of you who have times of weakness, sometimes maybe not the strongest faith that you would like to have, or the deepest devotion, or a sense of love, just remember that you can do this. These aren't hard things to do. They're very easy things to do. And by doing them, we hope to somehow please Krishna's senses. There are so many ways that I could give stories to illustrate over the years how Srila Prabhupada brought the qualities of these three items, quality, purity, and cleanliness. Certainly in that, the things that were all mentioned by you are important in the kitchen. The element of promptness must be there in every temple. There's a schedule that's followed in the holy dham. Every temple has a routine that's followed, from the example of Jagannath Puri, where 56 offerings are made a day, to the simplest home temple, where the persons in the home live very busy lives, and they try to do all of their worship in a meaningful way with love, devotion, and faith. So no matter how simple or how complex, what we want to do is explore these three elements. In Chaupati Temple, you have in your leader someone who has been able to impart to you the essence of these qualities, not only in the kitchen, because in every atom of this temple room, from the street outside to the first step that you take onto the courtyard in front of the temple, every aspect, every atom of this environment is surcharged with quality, purity, and cleanliness. So that no matter how you are studying Krishna consciousness or how you're practicing Krishna consciousness, you have access to these three powerful, powerful qualities to use in Krishna's service. So what we need to do is help each other. And by each person who tries to go deeper into these elements, and then they share it with others, this will spread to a broader and broader section of the public. I once met a man who was a professional chef that came up to at a book signing I was doing in Philadelphia. And he said, you know, I've never read a cookbook like this Lord Krishna's cuisine. He said, I've been trained by the most famous chefs in the world. He said, and I'm executive chef at such and such restaurant. He said, but this book, he said, I read it every night before I go to bed, because there's things in it that I never heard that were related to cooking. And he said, I want to learn what this is. This is different than any other cooking I ever did. And when he said that, I was thinking back to Prabhupada, that this cooking is different than anything any of us have ever done. And the more we share, even this one thing, everyone has to feed their families. We all need to breathe air, drink water, and take a little sustenance. So if we can take this one element in whatever we put in our mouths, to try to do it through the process of Krishna conscious cooking, for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to honor our Guru and our teachers and our Sampradaya, we should take advantage of that and share. I don't want to take any more of your time because I could speak for a long time on this subject matter. But if any of you have any questions at all on these three aspects, or any questions that you may have read about in relationship to Srila Prabhupada and his cooking or his teaching of cooking, I could try to answer them for you. Yes, Brahmachari ji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Some devotees have the concept that opulent prasad means putting a lot of spices, lot of chilies, lot of ghee. So what was your instruction? What instruction Srila Prabhupada gave you on this regard? We have a conflict in our temple also in this regard.
I've often broken Srila Prabhupada and his pastimes into three. Adi, Madhyam, and Antya. Even in relationship to the kitchen, the first years from 1966 to 1970 is the Adi. So in those days, we thought that everything that was especially rich in ghee had a lot of what we call soured cream in the United States. It would be like double malai. If you just make with lots of ghee and put double malai in it, everything's tasty. Or a lot of sugar. We make things, many, many, many things with sugar. So for the first 3 years, that was almost the standard of what was delicious and what we wanted to serve to Krishna. The next phase was between 70 and 75. In that phase, it was in October of 1970, October 4th, 1970, that the first devotees from Europe and America arrived in Mumbai. And from the moment that we were in a party with Srila Prabhupada, and he brought us more or less around India for the next year and a half, till March of 72, when the Mayapur cornerstone and the Vrindavan cornerstone were laid of these two big temples. Before, we didn't have temple construction. That was the beginning. So in that period, we traveled with Srila Prabhupada on the Sammelan circuit, that means to Pandal programs around India, and sometimes to little programs, in whether it was the Magh Mela, where we lived in the tents with Srila Prabhupada, or in the homes of saintly Vaishnava souls. We were told to study cooking in the kitchens. Almost every time I was with Srila Prabhupada, at the end of every meal, he'd say to me, go in the kitchen. Do you know how to make this? If not, go in the kitchen. So we started to study little bit the regional cuisines of India and get a rudimentary sense of the art of cooking regional cuisines in a traditional way. So when the idea of speculation came up, that was brought into a little more clarity that yes, if Radharani cooks differently for Krishna every single time, does not mean she's speculating. It means that she's pleasing Krishna's senses by making fresh something wonderful for Krishna. So the beginning glimpse of what that was happened in that period. By 1975 to 1977, a really unique era with Srila Prabhupada was brought into focus, the beginning focus. And that means that this business of purity came to light. Prior to that, we would use pre-ground masala, whether it was jeera, haldi, or dhanya. Didn't matter. But from 1976 onward, he would have the devotees buy seeds or roots, fresh grind everything. So now instead of dry, in the first phase of ISKCON, everything's done with seeds. There's cumin seed, there's dhanya seed, there's mirch, whole mirch or crushed mirch, and powdered haldi, salt and pepper. That was the beginning of ISKCON cooking. Then came in rye and hing, few more things. This last period, Prabhupada wanted everything done in paste masala, wet. So we started to get an idea from him when you say bhagar or chonk, that there are so many different ways to do this. You can do a Bengali bhagar chonk very fast, very high heat. Toss it in. If your timing isn't very good, immediately it's burned. Or you may find in Gujarati cuisine where you take a paste masala and you cook it very, very slow heat for 10, 15 minutes. You let layers and layers of flavor come out. So Srila Prabhupada started to reveal to us more about the art. In each different period. So, as students trying to begin to get a hint into what cooking for Krishna means, the art of cooking for Krishna, we want to keep expanding our foundation, like in every aspect of Krishna consciousness. There's never a time where, I know this. Because the simplest concept to the most complex concept, we are always learning more. There's always more to learn. Whether it is how to handle those cumin seeds in one of very direct five regional cuisines, or the subtleties of different traditions in every household that honors those cuisines, there's more to learn. We can look from the temple chefs that have been preserving the art of cooking for Krishna for hundreds of years. I had the inconceivable opportunity, by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, to be the first woman allowed in the temple kitchen at Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan to begin to study the art that they have preserved for hundreds of years. The standards that they have preserved, handed down so carefully, honored, and explored more deeply with every person that touched it. That's what we want to do. We want to honor the temple that we live in by finding out what the tradition is now, exploring how we can serve Krishna more deeply within that, the confines of that, and by helping each other to go more deeply into these three qualities. So Srila Prabhupada, one remarkable thing about even this phase of cooking was that he taught something, then he saw if the disciple digested what he taught. In other words, they practiced what he taught. Then he'd go on to something else. It's interesting that I can give the example that in 1966, Prabhupada taught how to make badi chachri and khichdi to us in San Francisco. That's 67. And in Rishikesh in 1977, he taught his senior sannyasi disciples the same things that he taught us in 1967, because they hadn't had that personal instruction. They were so advanced, so extraordinary preachers, but they hadn't learned this. So Prabhupada was teaching what he taught to them. One of those happens to be one of the most refined and cultured Vaishnav, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who's so expert in cooking and so expert in music and so expert in philosophy. But at that time, he was teaching the same thing he taught in 67. So these things never become outdated. They don't become, don't think they're old. But we want to go deeper into actually exploring the way Srila Prabhupada taught, because he's our founder Acharya, and go more deeply into what your own Guru Maharaj is teaching you. Every instruction he gives, even in just relation to this one thing, embrace it with your heart and try to remember it very sincerely and practice it. Because in this way, by the mercy of your Guru Maharaj, you will please Krishna. That's a one way to answer that question. I'm sure there's many other examples I could give, Prabhu. Thank you. Any other questions? Do you want to pass that microphone to the Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you.
My wife, when she cooks, I am also invariably at home. Because I do my business from my residence. Sometimes the cooking is excellent, sometimes mediocre, and sometimes the salt is slightly more. So I, you know, after it's being offered, then she tells me to taste. And sometimes I find her tolerance is a bit low while cooking. She knows very well, she's very excellent cook and all those things, but she lacks confidence. Now, how to boost this confidence?
Srila Prabhupada's senses were so astute that before I could cook something and put down the thali, and he would look at it and sometimes ask a few questions, but above the desire that I had to please him through the service was consciousness. Prabhupada could tell before he tasted a bite the consciousness of the cook. Now, you are all developing this to some degree, I am sure. But there were times I can remember when I was struggling so much in the holy dham of Vrindavan. It was a very difficult time in my life. I was, for that reason, felt I should not cook for my Guru Maharaj. My consciousness is not strong. It's engaged in mundane thinking, mundane complaints. So I'm not fit to cook for him. And in one such time, I was at doing some little service somewhere else, and another Vaishnavi who really wanted to cook for Prabhupada, I had left an arrangement for her to do that service. So Prabhupada was calling every day, "Why? Where's Yamuna? Why isn't she cooking?" So I was so embarrassed, I didn't even want to go see Srila Prabhupada to tell him how miserable was my consciousness. But he was really pushing. It was like Balaram with a plow. I could feel him all the way down in Fogal Ashram. Prabhupada's pulling me with his plow. So finally I come, and Prabhupada said, "So I was going to leave tomorrow, but I want you to cook, so I'm going to stay another day." So I thought, I can't get out of this. So I tried to chant my rounds attentively, and first time I went to Vrindavan through a Goswami and Radharaman temple, he taught me a little bit about making a certain kind of fulka that was prepared in Radharaman Mandir using PC Lahore wheat and freshly grinding and making paper thin, cooking on gobhar and neem. And So I had pleased Srila Prabhupada a little bit once by making such focus. This time when I am coming to make this prasad, I'm making just like this, repeating through the movements. And Satsarupa Maharaj was then in Srila Prabhupada's service as personal servant. He brings in the fulka to Srila Prabhupada, comes back in the kitchen and said, Srila Prabhupada wants me to teach you how to make chapatis. And I said, oh Maharaj, I'd be so grateful if he could teach me how to make chapatis. So you know when you're cooking on a coal fire and you're making fulkas and the tawa's on the fire and the heat's right, everything's right. If you wait for too long before putting on a fresh fulka, the tawa gets too hot, right? So in the time it takes for Satsarupa Maharaj to sit down to roll out a chapati, the tawa's on the stove, on the chula. He rolls out the chapati, puts it on. Naturally, the tawa is very hot. First thing that happens, it burns little holes in it, right? So I said, Maharaj, can you tell me when it's time to turn over fulka? He said, when little pimples come on the top and little burn spots on the bottom. Oh, thank you very much, Maharaj. So he turns it over. Then it's burned, right? The little pimples are now burned. So it can't fill up with air. So we know that a properly prepared fulka is cooked a little over 4/5 on the tawa. And then when put over the coals, the inside is cooked the other 1/5 with hot air. So you've got just the right amount of char-flavored specks from the coals. The dough is cooked properly through, and from the inside, through the hot air. So when Satsarupa Maharaj puts the chapati on the coals, it doesn't blow up. It's now like little kind of cracker. So I said, can you give me any more guidelines than this? No, this is good. So he puts it on the chapati, brings it into Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada takes a bite of the chapati, and he comes back in the kitchen and he says, so Prabhupada wants to know if you can learn to make like this. So I knew Srila Prabhupada could see my consciousness. Not even seeing my face. So important is it for us in the process of self-realization to look at what service we're trying to do for the pleasure of Guru Gauranga, C.C. Radha Krishna, Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, whatever the Archa Vigraha is in your temple. And to be attentive to only really trying to please them and please Krishna and really learn the art of cooking. So in this instance, it was a rope is a snake is a snake. Sometimes the spiritual master, he asked me to learn to make fulkas in this way. Not so I could make them improperly, but because he wanted my consciousness purified. So it will happen if you're examining that sometimes you're more attentive. Sometimes your senses are, for some reason, impure or unfocused. This happens. This is natural. But the more we practice, and the more we remind, never become lazy, that this is our goal. Not to become routine. Serving the deity isn't a routine function. It's a function of, based on love, faith, and devotion to Krishna. So that is not a routine function, neither a mechanical function. So that's really key. And sometimes you'll feel empowered. You'll feel actually the potency of your Guru Maharaj and be able to do extraordinary things. That's what this whole chaupati is an inspiration of extraordinary Krishna consciousness. And there's no end to its increase. I can see it from even 5 years ago. The level of bhakti here is so palpable that it takes your breath away. Does that a little bit answer your question? It's internal. These things are internal, not external. Yes, my Mataji, Prabhu. Could you speak loudly, really, really loudly? I think you have to pass this little thing, microphone.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Can we use cheese here in the temple? We don't use cheese in Radha Gopinath Mandir.
Could you say that word cheese?
Cheese.
These kinds of things are, you decide. You decide what standard you want for your deity. Huh? This morning I was served some cheese that was, there's two kinds of essentially cheese. One's called unripened cheese. And one is called ripened cheese. So unripened cheese means dehin, chana, paneer. These are unripened. They're fresh. Taza. So these are traditional. The cheese, according to Ayurveda, that is ripened, that is hard to digest. So you may be following Ayurvedic standard. On the other hand, I heard there were some devotees that were making organic cheese of devotion with the ripened cheese. So if you decide to serve that to Krishna, that's, you decide, you ask your Guru Maharaj. It's not traditional. But, for example, I never served Prabhupada quinoa. Does anyone here know what quinoa is? Raise your hand if you know. Quinoa. Huh? So quinoa is a seed grain like kutu, like buckwheat, that can be used on Ekadasi. That traditionally grew in the mountains of Peru, 7,000 feet altitude. Little tiny, like sama, only much more flavor, and one of the highest protein content of all seed grains, 14 to 17% protein, very high. So I never had an opportunity to serve that to Srila Prabhupada. And I'm not sure if he would have liked it, because he had a fondness for things that he was familiar with. Especially from Bengali cooking. But I offer that in his service because it's something Krishna put on the planet to use. Another is something like wild rice. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. This is another little seed grain that is like one of, it's similar to one of the 7,000 varieties of rice that there are on the planet. This is 7,001. And it's a very nice thing. I use that in the service of Krishna. Or maybe here's another question for you. Suppose in this last 100 years we're using chini, huh? 100 years ago there weren't factories for making chini. So what did they use? How did they make rasgulla? White rasgulla. So they used something different then. Sometimes there are things that are made available different times on the planet that we use in Krishna's service. So what you want to do is decide a standard that glorifies your deity, that glorifies a tradition that you want to establish for your deity. Allow that tradition to breathe, but preserve its essence. Write it down, respect it, live it, and then share it with others. And change can be there. Change is all right. But only when it's decided that we're going to go this direction together. Under the guidance of the Guru. Yes, Prabhu.
What do you think about making chocolate cakes or ice creams or chocolate sweets?
That kind of falls in the same category as the cheese, yeah. Hundreds of questions to ask. I believe that this issue of chocolato came up to the GBC recently. Didn't it? Didn't it? Yeah? And I think it was mentioned no chocolato. Wasn't that GBC? Final? Final word? I was told this. I think this is true. I mean, it could be I was misinformed, but this was in the last six to eight months. Some other, even in a local temple, somebody wrote me this question. So, you know, there have been over the years many different instructions. I could, you know, I had some personal ones by Srila Prabhupada. So far as ice cream, I can remember ice cream being sent from New Vrindavan to Srila Prabhupada, dry ice, and him tasting it and saying, this is very tasty. When we first came to India and tasted our first kulfi, which, you know, is a little different than ice made, a little different, everyone was so impressed. Now, I 200, 300 years ago, I'm not sure how they made kulfi unless they brought ice from the Himalayas. So there is breathing. Just take that as the principle, that there's breathing according to time, place, and circumstance. But you decide what standard you want to do. I mean, I remember when I first came from India to the West, and for this Vaikalika Bhog, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Bhog, it had become vogue to do cookies and cakes. Huh? So in India, that was not there. In Mayapur now, what is offered at the 4 o'clock? Fruits, yes. So this is traditional, much more traditional than, but every temple was making many varieties of biscuits and cookies and cakes, and that's the standard that had been established at that time. So you decide, you can try to study from the glorious experts here in India, the pujaris from Mayapur, who really have studied so with such pure heart, so many aspects of worshiping the Archa Vigraha. And if you're interested in finding out traditional approaches to different offerings, ask them, and then set a standard and let it breathe, but preserve it. So that's a personal. Any other? I think it's getting very late, yeah? So we quit? Yes, Prabhupada.
One more question. I'm a practicing doctor at Bhaktivedanta Hospital.
I know.
So this question is related to health.
Yes.
And there is often a conflict between tasty prasad and health.
Yes.
They seem to be going always, you know, sort of opposites.
Yes.
In your wonderful association with Prabhupada, if you can share with us some of the aspects where you heard him talk about health and devotee prasad, which will be of use to all of us in a general way.
You know, there could be numerous examples of Srila Prabhupada caring about the health of his disciples. This is a glorious thing. First, in general, if he heard a disciple was indisposed or ill, he would try to get management to address that, which it was not doing on its own. So that's the first thing. As I watched Srila Prabhupada eat for his health, when we first met Srila Prabhupada, he could eat very large quantities of prasadam. We could eat Bengali style with nice big mound of rice, lots of fried things on the side, many, many fried items, many, many sweets, even though he had diabetes. And he didn't take diabetic medicine except for a little Ayurvedic medicine. But he ate what he wanted to eat. Always ate what he wanted to eat. And there would be various groups that would come to him with some idea of what health was. You know, I can remember as early as 68, Kirtanananda in Los Angeles, January 68. He left San Francisco, came on 14th, 1967, back from India. He was down in Los Angeles in January. Health was bad. He was getting pressure in his head from diabetes. So a contingent of his little mothers came, "Oh, Swamiji, you have to eat this." Then a group of his little father, he called us his mothers and fathers, his children sometimes. "Swamiji, you have to eat this, you have to eat this." So maybe one day, 2 days he'd try and then eat what he wanted. Over the years, devotees have tried many things as health becomes an issue. So even amongst doctors, I'm sure there's many different approaches to what healthful eating is. I myself have had a lifelong struggle with my weight. So I know sometimes that I shouldn't eat what I do. But it's a very difficult thing to change eating habits for health reasons only. I noticed that with Srila Prabhupada, as he aged, he began to eat less and less. So in the beginning, he could eat this large quantity of food. Over the years, eating less. You put down a full tali, sometimes for the sheer intoxicating reason of reciprocating with his disciples, he would eat everything on his tali. But sometimes he would take a spoon, he ate with, if you ever seen films of Srila Prabhupada respecting prasadam, it's magic. How he respected. He didn't eat, he respected prasadam. And he would take little bite and savor, generally as he didn't talk in the kitchen, unless it was for preaching purposes, he didn't eat during, didn't talk during prasadam. He respected. So sometimes, and he would take up to 45 minutes for lunch prasad. I'm sure all of you have experienced that. Just while he's relishing for Krishna. But sometimes he take just, he would take with his spoon, little small silver spoon, take little bite and savor. As a personal cook, Prabhupada would sometimes say what he wanted in the morning. And you made that for health reasons. Sometimes he would tell his cook, especially for indigestion, as later it became harder for him to digest things. Not only quantity, but the kind of things. And partly also this last phase of 75, 77 of the masalas was that they are also easier to digest. So it was at this time that he began to hint a little bit about Ayurveda and what his constitutional type was. And for example, his, what we called his soaked chickpea ginger, essential element of his breakfast. We find out in Ayurveda that that's something that is taken by Vata food types to increase the fire of digestion. And so Prabhupada took that. Certainly the element of Shukta, he said, very much the bitter helped him to digest. So on an individual basis, it would allow some devotees to try different things. There was one Swami of his, Devananda Swami, who in 1970 had practiced a certain kind of food regimen of eating what's called raw food. And although Prabhupada, he didn't eat all raw food, he didn't eat any grains or legumes, only vegetables. And when we were traveling in Nagar Sankirtan with Srila Prabhupada from this 70 period through March of 2 years later, 72, wherever we went, he would proudly say, "Oh, my Devananda Swami, he takes only vegetable and fruit. No grain, no legume. He is restricting." So he used that as a preaching platform, and he was proud of him for controlling his tongue in this way. So there's many, many examples I could give you of how Prabhupada would allow certain devotees to take certain kinds of prasadam and explore that for their health and well-being. And also if he saw that it was increasing their Krishna consciousness, especially in the austerity. He wasn't so proud when he saw his devotees overeat. Okay. I think if there are no more questions. Would you like to stop now, Maharaj? We are waiting for you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. But we'll all sing together. To Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. These two verses from Brahma Samhita. I thank you so much, all of you, my dear Prabhus and teachers. I pray that each one of you try to help me to become Krishna conscious and render service to you in any way I can while I'm here, provided it isn't speaking publicly. Well, I can sing. How about if I sing Govindam and you leave Kirtan? Okay. Would you like to sit down or stand up? If your knees, okay. So, I'll sing a verse. I'll sing some chorus, then you sing some chorus. Then I'll sing a verse, and then you sing a verse. So we do responsive, okay?
Govindam Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govindam Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Thank you.
Jani Asha Sakalendriya Vrihiti Mahanti Pasyanti Panti Kalyanti Chiram Jaganti. O Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Hey Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Tamaham bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham bhajami Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe Radhe Oh Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe Radhe Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe Radhe Jaya Gornitaya Jaya Goranitaya Goranitaya Oh Jaya Goranitaya Hey Gora 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 Nithai Oh Gora 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 Nithai Hey Gora Nithai Jaya Gora Nithai Oh Hey Gora 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 Nithai Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gora. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Hey Ram, 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 hey. Hey Ram, 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 hey. Ram, 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 hey. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Hey Krishna, 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 hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai go Premanandi Hari 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 go. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you for such nice kirtan.
Let us offer our gratitude to Yamuna Devi Prabhu.